You're listening to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maynes. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we welcome you back to another session where we're trying to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, today, David, I know you've been hired by any number of times by large foundations working with pastors to critique sermons. Do you like doing this?
Yeah, I really do. I enjoy it very much, and I think I'm helpful to others. I should probably describe for you the process that we go through. Usually there'll be about 25 or 30 people in the group, and I'm just one of those who critiques. And they will give me, say, 8 to 10 pastors, and then I watch a video or whatever presentation. There's always a visual with it. And I watch them actually preach a sermon. And then I evaluate that, and then I meet one-on-one with them, and they also meet with a number of other people. But I am the coach in that sense where I have direct access to that person, and I'm to tell them what I think would be helpful in terms of someone as an outsider looking at them in the process of preaching. The videos are usually quite poorly done, which doesn't put the minister in a good position. So you have one person with a video camera who's some pretty far off from the pastor, so you're not looking at a good presentation. But apart from that, you still have a good understanding of what is said, what the characteristics of the person are who is speaking. And then I write down carefully, you know, and after you watch about 8 or 10 of those in a row, it's a lot of work. I never know, because I haven't met the ministers ahead of time, whether they're insecure, whether they're very secure, you know. So I have to work hard on making sure that I don't destroy someone with any negative comment. And there are ways I go about that. But do I like the process? Yes. And do I think I'm good at it? Yes, I think I'm good at it. And I'm gracious. And I get very high marks. I usually get some kind of a feedback to me at the end where they tell, this is what the minister said about you. And they're usually very, very good marks, and I'm glad for that. I have had times when people say, I didn't value his opinion because that's how he thinks, but I don't think that way, and so on. But for the most part, that has not been the case. And I've also received very nice letters from ministers later writing me, which that's very special to me, because they don't have to do that. You know, They will never see me again, but they write letters. I've had numbers of those happen. And from what I can tell from the other coaches, that's unusual. They haven't had that. So, yeah, it's a good experience for me.
So what would you tell someone who would like to talk to a pastor about his or her sermons, or say a district superintendent or bishop or executive presbyter who has this as a part of his or her job description?
Well, one of the things which I learned in the whole process, and the foundation said this is what needed to be done, was that as you look at a sermon that's being preached on video, you write down the negative things, but you also write down the positive things. And it was important every time you talk with someone that you say, this was a very good quality. I think this is a strength that you have. And then you stated that. And then of all the negatives that you might write down, and sometimes I would have a number of negatives, you pick the one that is most important, and then you say, this is the negative that I would like to share. And then you share that negative. And then you also say, oh, there's one other strength I wanted to talk about, because I thought this was very good. And then you say that strength. So now that put me in a framework that I wasn't used to working with, that, you know, because I had to look for strengths, and that wasn't normally what I was doing. And sometimes it's hard to find those strengths, just to be very honest. I thought that was great. So here's a strength. Now this is one thing that I think you might work on, because if I listed, say, 6 things, after a while it's overwhelming and they're not going to hear it. So what's the one you pick that you think is the most important negative to talk about? And then you have to end with another strength area. Again, that was something I inherited. I wasn't used to that. It's not how I would have done it. But I thought that was a wonderful way to go about it. So I found starting with a strength, going to a difficulty or a weakness, and then ending with a strength again. Always they were able to hear what I said. And sometimes they were a little bit reluctant to accept the negative thing that I said. But I didn't allow myself, because they said, you cannot do this. Don't allow yourself to get into the place where not only was that a problem, this was a problem, this is a problem. You know, you basically chose one and you said that. And even if they said, are there other things that's helpful to me? And I you had to answer by saying, not now, and I don't know what I would say, but let's just concentrate on that one. And that was a very good format. I liked that very much.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be very helpful. Is it possible that in doing an evaluation, you can be too nice in making your remarks?
I never had that problem. I also didn't couch my words. I found that if I said very directly, this is the one area where I would encourage you to do work, that was fine, and I didn't have any problem saying that. By these conversations, I think people should be able to tell that I will tell you what my opinion is. If somebody says, I don't agree with that, I would say, you don't have to agree with it. That's my opinion, and if you don't value it, that's fine. I very seldom had that happen, and I did a lot of these critiques. Sometimes there were people who were very insecure. In fact, they would come in the room, and the idea that someone's going to evaluate them was very new and different and threatening. And I wanted to make sure that they didn't feel like I was their assassin, you know. Mm-hmm. I was the one who was going to make sure they got out of the ministry because they certainly weren't called to do this kind of work. I really like that area where you look for a strength. I found that it put me in a whole different position, and I found some of these men had strengths, some of the women had strengths that were strengths I didn't have. And I could say to them, you know what, I think I learned from you, and that's a strength that you have that I would like to be able to assimilate into my own life. So I'm watching you closely, and thank you for what you gave me, even as maybe now I can give you something. But there are all ways to be able to get at this critiquing, which is new to people and highly threatening to people.
I can see in my mind the pastor who this experience of evaluation could very much become a trip back in time to when they were in seminary and took homiletics, and particularly if they had a bad experience. I've had more than one pastor tell me that the professor that they feel the least warmth toward was their professor of homiletics because of the severity of his criticism. So I guess that leads me to ask, do you think this kind of feedback actually does pastors any good?
I know it does, and I, at least from my own experience, I know it does. I also am aware that it can be devastating, and I'm better at it now than I was when I first did it. When I first did it, I think I never felt this way, but I think that it was perceived that I was the guy who came and dumped a bucket of swill on top of people. That was my role. I had this whole supply of swill that I put into a sizable amount in this bucket, and then as soon as I had said some nice things, I would just dump this and totally leave him drenched, you know. I wasn't that way, but I think sometimes I would perceive that way when I was doing consulting work as well, because I didn't nearly say enough good things to compensate for the thing that they perceived as being negative, and then go back to the good things. So I'm very good at it now. And I also not only think I'm good at it in a cocky sense or a prideful sense, I'm good at it in an experienced sense. I'm at the place where ministers can receive what I have to say, and they know when it's all done, I'm their friend, and I have done that in the way I wanted to. And if a pastor working with a Timothy, say, an associate pastor or with a youth pastor, I'm going to have you preach for me coming Sunday. If they would do this same thing, work with them ahead of time, and when it's all over, say, as your friend, this was a real strength. I noticed that was very, very positive, and I want to affirm you in that area. This is an area where I think you can do some more work, and I will help you with that if I can. But now also I want to tell you that this was another strength, you know. In that whole process, I think that's a building. That's a building, wonderful, fatherly role. And I don't think enough pastors see themselves in that role. They kind of see themselves where I will feel good if when the junior high pastor fills in for me some Sunday, people say, boy, we're glad he's not the pastor. you know. Uh-huh. And then I will look better when I come back. And in fact, I met with a minister recently who had an associate. It was a young woman who was just out of seminary, and he had her speak for him. And I felt she did very poorly. And I said to the pastor who I was consulting with, I don't know how she could have done what she did with you working with her. Oh, I never worked with her, he said. I said, how in the world could you set her up for the first time she had this whole congregation to listen to her and you never worked with her ahead of time? I mean, it was not fair that you did that. And he said, well, I never thought about, you know, helping her. I thought she could do it. I said, don't ever do that again, because you have done her a disservice. Mm-hmm. Because she got up there and she was attractive. She had a lot of personality and she had absolutely nothing to say. And I said, if you can't do it, then next time have me do it, because it's not right to put her in that position. It's you're doing a great disservice to her.